Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage: it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning. It's Willard Sapriston.
And Peter Greco.
Saturday, June 30th, 2018 at 10:05 on ESPN 1520. Call us at 803-1520 or 800-879-7541. Show is brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA. If you're listening tonight on the rebroadcast from 12 to 1, we're not here. And if you're listening to our archive shows on our website, Sapriston, SAPERSTON.com, we're not here. And if you're listening live and streaming on our website, we are here. And, of course, every Saturday morning we have free economic research from Stone and McCarthy, which I was caught reading by Peter. And you go to our website, The Dollar Doctor, the Sapriston website, and then you just hit free economic research, and it gives you a vignette on interest rates, where the markets have been, where oil's been, where gold's been. Gold looks terrible, and oil looks good.
Very true.
What did I forget?
Nothing, I don't think. I'll go back to, you know, we do mention the chat box, which we've used each week. There may be a problem there. If you go to sapriston.com, normally you click on the Dollar Doctor tab at the top, then live streaming comes up. You click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page, and there's a chat box where you can type in a symbol or a question. And if you type in a symbol, let us know whether you own it, you want to buy it, you want to sell it. Now, if there's a problem with that Dollar Doctor tab, when you open up the Sapriston.com website, down at the bottom of the page, it says, listen to the Dollar Doctor. You click on that, and then it comes down, and you see archived and live streaming. Click on that. The live streaming page comes up. Go to the bottom. The chat box will be there. So hopefully that's not too confusing. So hopefully your Dollar Doctor tab does work, but otherwise you'll have to do it the other way and work around it.
803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. There is something on the chat box.
Oh.
From looks like Zach. Help. How can I protect myself from extreme pre-market losses on a stock? Stop losses only go into effect when the market opens. So by then I'm wondering where my shirt went.
Well,
you got an answer?
Can't really. I mean, first of all, I'm assuming that he can get into the pre-market. And the catch is that, you have to be watching the pre-market.
Well, he's got a stock called DEN, Dog Edward Nancy.
Okay.
DEN Networks. And it has fallen quite nicely. It's gone right through support at 87 and closed about 81. So he's wondering, what does he do now? Well, people will let you trade off market, but it's still usually just an hour before or an hour after.
Yeah, but he's saying stop orders don't work in the pre-market. I've never tried that, so I can't answer that question, you know, as far as stop orders. I've put in limit orders, you know, to sell at a certain price pre-market. You can do that.
Maybe that's the answer.
But, you know, other than that, you know, I don't know.
So if he put an order in to sell at 80 and it's at 81, he'll 80 or better, he'll get it.
If it is already, you know, that's the catch. Right?
Well, that is the catch.
But, you know, that's one thing you can try. I would try, you know, whatever brokerage firm you're with, probably ask them the question. I know ours is different. Matter of fact, you know, ours, they used to let you do pre-market. You know, you could do 100 shares or 400 shares. Now you have to have a minimum of 500 shares to do a pre-market order.
Although I did less.
Did you?
On DIA.
In a pre-market?
Yes.
I don't know how you got
it. No, aftermarket, I'm sorry.
Oh, but is it over $100?
Yes.
Yeah. So
you didn't say that.
Yeah, I didn't. Well, I figured it didn't matter. But if it's over $100, you can do 100 shares. You know.
Yeah, DIA was in the 230s
or
240s.
That's why you can do it. You know. So, but anyway, you'd have to check, you know, with your brokerage firm, see what they allow, you know, in the pre-market.
And, I would try a firm that will trade in Europe. And then it would have to be a stock that we all know and love, like AT&T or IBM, I would think. And mm-hmm. I don't know about DEN. I don't know that stock. I don't know how big it is.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, you can react in the pre-market because all the idiots come in selling the news or something, and then later there's a conference call or other people realize that it was a mistake selling it, you know, that the people who are selling it are idiots. And sometimes you can be stopped out on something that, you know. So the pre-market is very flaky, very volatile, very illiquid.
You have to use limit orders.
Yeah, and because of that, you know, a lot of times the reaction in the pre-market can be wrong. You know, people are just reading the news and dumping in the pre-market. And then when the market opens, the stock comes back sometimes. So you never know, really, you know.
And if you want to trade internationally, I would take a look at Interactive Brokers. I think they have the best platform for that.
Very good. There you go.
There you go.
Right now, phone lines are wide open, and this is the best time to give us a call because always people wait until the end of the show or late in the show. So right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or if you're able to use the chat box, which somebody was able to do, you know, as we mentioned, you know, go to the Saperstein.com website, try the Dollar Doctor tab, and if it drops down and says live streaming, click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page, there's a chat box there. If the Dollar Doctor tab is not working, then you have to, when you first open the page, go to the bottom, say, listen to the Dollar Doctor. Then at the bottom of that, it says archived and live streaming. Click on that. Then go to the bottom of the page. So that way you'll be able to use the chat box. And if you put in a symbol, let us know whether you own it, you want to buy it, you want to sell it. Right now, the markets didn't do very well.
And you can see that by going and getting our economic research on the front page.
Yeah, and, you know, as I told somebody before, you know, this is a midterm election year. You know, typically, at least for the Dow and the S&P, it's not great. And for the Dow and S&P, typically in a midterm election year, you either get a July bottom or an October bottom. So for all our sakes, let's hope it's a July bottom because July is coming very quickly.
Very quickly.
And the only good news about that is that, you know, typically the low that's formed in the midterm election year is a very good buy, you know, so, and the market usually does exceptionally well after that low.
803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Call us, the Dollar Doctors. We're live at 10:10. I don't know what clock to look at.
Got to look at the computer.
If I could see that, I'd be great. Good morning, Bob.
Good morning, Willard. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
I heard gold.
Gold, yeah.
Well, gold is down according to our our little vignette here.
What is the saying?
Week.
Gold is dead, long live gold.
I believe it's hit the bottom, or it's very close to hitting the bottom, and it'll probably be stagnant for the summer, and then all hell is going to break loose.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. If the dollar keeps going up, that's not going to help gold at all, that's for sure.
This could be true, but it's wait and see. But I called to thank you for acknowledging my birthday.
Ah,
well, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
And on your note, it says the top 10 things you could do on your 69th birthday. There's only one problem. I'm 39.
Well, we've been having computer trouble all week. It must be that.
That's number three. It's
we'll,
a prank phone
We'll make
call.
You feel. We'll blame the computer.
That's for, right.
But we know, no, forget it. Go ahead.
Oh, and Peter, I've been adding to my favorite stock.
Yeah, well, at least it just sits there anyway, you know.
Yeah, I hope it sits there for another month so I can add some more to it.
Well, it's a good thing, you know, the kind of plunge in the price of gold hasn't really affected it. You know, after the news came out and it got knocked down, it just sits there now. So.
Right, and not only that, they've had a lot of good news coming out lately, so...
Well, maybe it needs some more bad news. Who knows? That's what I always say. You can't interpret news at all.
That one I can't figure out. But.
You know, no, everybody thinks they can, you know, in terms of what effect it'll have in a stock, but most times you turn out to be wrong. You know.
No, but I'm patient.
Yeah, well, I know that. And since you're 39, you got a lot of years ahead of you. So.
Yeah. Oh, and I found out I only have one psychotic son.
Oh, well, that's good news.
The other one showed up the day before my birthday, and it was very nice to see him, and everything went very well.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So. That's very nice, yep.
But other than anything else going in the market, I'm pretty firm on what I've been buying and just...
Yeah, I mean, it's a tougher market right now. It doesn't mean if you buy a stock, it's not going to work, but it's going to be a little bit more difficult.
Right? I think the REITs look pretty good here, some of them.
Okay.
So that's an idea for you.
Thank you. Well, anyways, I'll let you answer all your phone calls.
Oh, the tons and tons of them that are out there right now.
I think you have a lot of competition. The weather and all kinds of things are going on. So.
Well, that's for sure. So, yeah.
But your show is great. Thanks, and you guys have a great weekend.
Well, thank you for the call. You saved us for a few minutes. We appreciate it. So, thanks a lot. Have a good weekend there.
Take care.
Okay,
as we always say, everyone should do their own research when they hear ideas on the show.
Very definitely. You know, because people at any show, you know, TV show, I don't care how esteemed the people are that are on the TV show.
There was a guy on CNBC yesterday morning that, no, it was on the Bloomberg Channel, too, and he had a tie on, so I believed him, sort of, and he said his biggest short is Netflix.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, people keep trying to short that thing. There's no question about it, you know, so eventually I guess they'll be right, but I remember Ackerman going up against Carl Icahn with Herbalife. And he got his clock cleaned.
Well, Icahn's a tough adversary.
Yeah, I know.
He's got enough money he can bury anyone.
Exactly.
Or change the course of the world.
And Ackerman got buried, that's for sure. So.
So we do have a couple things on the chat room. One is 2018 is half over. What are your outlooks for the last half of the year?
Well,
I think you said it.
I said the thing about the midterm election year. Typically, you know, once again, you say, what's the market? Let's go back to that. It's been a great year for NASDAQ 100, small caps, really good.
They're
year.
All sitting on the 50-day or better.
Yeah, but they've had great gains for this year, whereas the Dow is down for the year. The S&P is just barely up. I think it's 1 point something, you know, it's up right
Depending on the day you check.
So the Dow and S&P are following the typical midterm election year, which sees, in general, and once again, you take everything with a grain of salt, it's an overall pattern that sees weakness into July, and sometimes you make a bottom in July, and sometimes the bottom, really, you make one bottom in July, you go up a little, and you make another bottom in October. So between July and October, it's very murky. But later, typically in the midterm election year, after in the last quarter of the year, tends to be very strong. And the 12 months after that tends to be very strong.
So yesterday I told a client, don't change your allocation of stock, because by the time we realize something changed, it'll be too late for us to get in, very possibly. So just stay where you are and grit your teeth. Good morning, Vic.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. Okay.
Good. Took my wife shopping at Wegmans. She's shopping. I killed some time. I picked up the weekly Investors Daily and purchased it and went through the charts. I said, I'll pick a couple charts I like. And this is one that stood out. Z is in zebra, T is in Tommy, O is in orangutan. ZPO.
Well, we'll look on a point and figure.
Okay.
What do they have for their, if you know, their relative strength number?
It's like 984 or something like that. It's up there.
And they probably don't show the earnings on there. The other thing you can pick off that is sometimes insider ownership, which I think is always important.
Well, this is a China-based stock that actually does the, like a FedEx or a UPS would be here. Alibaba just purchased 10% of them. And this is one of those IBD stocks where earnings growth, sales growth, it's an IBD company. But what turned me onto it was the chart.
Mm-hmm.
The thing you don't have moving averages on your chart.
Well, I can change it. Yeah, I can do it.
Well, throw a 50 on there.
Well, the 50's up on the website.
Yeah, the 50 is 1875 with the stock closing at 20 and a low of 1990 yesterday.
Yeah, here's it has a long base.
Right.
It breaks out on volume. This is my favorite pattern.
Yeah.
Breaks out on volume, gaps up. It trickles up a few days, then comes down on not crazy volume, closes the gap. Okay, holds the bottom gap, which is important.
That can be very, very good. Yep.
And then it's now kind of basic. I closed yesterday, I think 20 even.
Mm-hmm. It looks like it's coming back to retest around the support area.
You know? I would agree. You like it though.
There it is.
Yeah.
I own it in one of the accounts.
Oh, you do?
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with it. But I'm no more familiar than what I can read on IBD, you know.
And what did you, I mean, did you just like what the company does? I mean, what was your, how'd you initially get into it?
On the breakout.
Based on IBD.
Well, you can, there's a database with IDB that tells you what broke out for the day. So I always go back and look at those and then see, you know, where might it be a good buy? I think I paid 20 and a half ish.
What about the fundamentals, the fundies?
Oh, they're strong, very
That's
strong.
What I'm saying. Right? I hadn't heard about this stock until yesterday morning. I bought the paper, so I brought it home, and I said, this is the one I want to really look up. And as much as I like the technicals, I actually like the fundamentals as much.
You know what bothers me is that Amazon is now trying to be in the delivery business.
I heard that, yeah.
And not only that, they're doing something akin to Uber and hiring the average Joe or the average Mrs. Joe, Josephine. All right, you have time for the next 3 hours. Go deliver these five packages. I don't know what the pay is for that, but use your own card. You know, you don't have to buy a van. Now, I'm in the Florida office yesterday afternoon, and there's a woman looking at an address with an Amazon package in her hand, and I figure this has got to be for my wife who works with me. She's a big Amazon person. And so I knock on the glass. We have an office looking out on the sidewalk down there. And I motioned to her to come in, and sure enough, she was already, you know, a private person delivering a package for Amazon, actually, to my wife. So we've seen UPS. We've seen the mailman delivers Amazon on Saturday mornings when I'm there. And we've seen FedEx come in. Now they're going to the private thing. And so I don't know if Alibaba can do that in China. That would be my only concern.
I was wondering where you were headed.
That's where I'm headed.
Okay.
Now,
that was quite a yarn.
I know. I said, where's this leading?
Well, I know. I heard it last week about Amazon.
Oh, okay.
Regular people to deliver packages. Next thing I know, there's a person delivering a package.
And what does ZTO do?
Alibaba owns 10% of them. Alibaba's not taking their business away. Alibaba wants a piece of their action, I think.
Yes. But at some point, can Alibaba go do the same thing Amazon's doing? Self-package delivery, so to speak, for less. That's all.
Well, their number, it's a P about 27. Their numbers for sales growth and earning. I mean, it's one of the, you know, those IBDs that they just stand out. It's just a chart. I just love that. Gap up, comes back down, holds the lower gap, and now it's trickling up again. Those things usually move up.
Yeah, but, you know, I might get a little worried if it dropped below the 50-day.
I agree. Hey, guys, great show.
Okay,
thank you.
Take care.
Thanks, Vic. You are listening to The Dollar Doctors, Willard Sapriston, Peter Greco, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA, Saturday, June 30th, 2018, and we are live. So let's go back to the chat room. But as far as the market goes, we may see an important low in July or then October.
Or October for the Dow and S&P. You know, I can't say what will happen to the Nasdaq.
Nasdaq's been strong and it just bounced off the 50-day.
But, you know, but people start getting worried. They start selling the big winners, you know. So we remains to be seen. So do we have anything up there in the chat box at all?
Oh, we have all kinds of things. First of all, the question from Tom is the strong dollar.
Yep.
And trade deficit is going down. How does this affect your investment strategy? Take a look at Twitter and WLK.
Well, the trade dollar affects the large cap companies. That's why the small caps have done very well. So theoretically, you know, you should be leaning a little bit more toward the small cap companies while the dollar is very strong. In the meantime, as far as the large cap companies goes, it'll give everybody an opportunity to buy them at nice prices. So you should have them on your watch list and pick a level that where you might buy a company that you've done your research into. It's a big name company that may be temporarily hit, you know, by the stronger dollar, and then you scoop it up for an opportunity. So you got a couple of different ways of playing it.
So Twitter gets to 47, reverses on the point and figure, closes at 43, it has support at 37, 38. What do you think about Twitter? Or did I cover it?
No, Twiller.
I'm Twillard.
At any rate. Yeah, basically, assuming it's not going to get hit with a weak market in July, which is a big assumption, you know, and if the market is weak, you know, they're going to take profits in stocks that have run up. But this stock technically should move to test the previous high, which was what, in the 50?
47. And the real high in 2016 was 53.
Yeah, so 53 would be a next target. And I don't know, where's the 50-day on it?
Probably. And the 50-day is 36.75.
That's quite a ways below it.
Yeah, so. Which is where the support is on the chart.
Yeah, so your real support, if this gets hit, is back there, what'd you say,
37.
37, somewhere in that area.
So if you wanted to buy it, if I wanted to buy it, I would buy half here and half if it dropped.
Yep. And like I say, the next target could be 53, assuming the market doesn't get hit.
And if I own it, I would worry about where to stop it because support is.
Well, look at stockcharts.com. Let's look at a bar chart.
That help
real quick.
You?
Yeah. Well, it helps a little. So type in this where the symbol goes. Yeah. TWTR.
And
doesn't help very much.
No, that doesn't help. And my other idea was, let me just come back here, change the box size.
It still looks like, you know,
36,
37, 38, you know, somewhere that you want that area to hold. You know, you want 37, 38 to
hold. So you changed to a half box. And you see you've got support in at 41.5, 42, which is, and it reversed.
Yeah. So, I mean, for a tight stop, you'd put a stop at
42.
What?
42. 41 7/8.
Yeah. So, I mean, that could get hit in one day, but if you want a tight stop. But otherwise, the support's 37, 38.
Of course, if you paid $30,
yeah,
you stop half there.
Exactly. Just yep. You could do it that way,
not
too.
Not be
yep.
foolish.
Yep. What was the other stock there?
Oh, the other is WLK.
WLK.
And that is Westlake Chemical. Pays a small dividend. It got as high as 124, close to 107. Support between 100 and 104.
Where would you stop that?
98.
Is he looking to buy it, did he say?
98.
Or
no, he didn't say.
Didn't say, okay. Well, it would be stopped about 98 because it could go down quite a ways.
So you could figure 10 points from the close, which is 107.63.
Yeah. So right now I'd have to say if you were looking to buy it, it's a possibility, but you'd have to be out if it went to 98. You know, has he got any target on this thing? Or
166.
And it closed
which
at
would,
what?
107, so yeah, well, it would tend to keep you in, right?
Yeah, if you, you know, take that with a grain of salt, but that's the point in vig.
Because otherwise, if it goes back to the trend line, it's 81, and that's,
right.
that's about a 25% drop.
Yeah, so you wouldn't like to see it under that, what was it, 98 we said?
98,
so, yeah. But like I say, somebody who's got a good reasons, looked into the company, is very strong about it, you know.
Does their own research.
Yeah, could take a shot at it, and if it goes to 98, then you have to make your decision, you know.
Exactly.
Okay, so we phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541.
Good morning, Jack.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good. Willard, it's good to have you back.
Thank you.
Although David does a good job in your stead.
I think he's better than I am between you and I. But I listen in Florida, you know.
Yeah, he seems like a man on the way up. Maybe you better not take too many days off, Willard. I don't know.
Maybe he'll push me out.
That could be. That could be. Listen, I attended a chapter meeting for the AAII.
I'm a lifetime member, and I've always wanted to, but they seem to have them in the evening.
Yeah, well, they do. They do. And the problem is there's no local chapter. The closest one is Rochester.
Yeah, so that's an hour and a half for me.
Yeah. And the last meeting, that's the only one I've attended, actually, because they are so far. They had it at the Casa Larga Vineyard, and it was a nice meeting. Unfortunately, I had prior commitment. I was a little late, but they usually have a little gathering about 7 o'clock, and then 7:30 have a little reception, and then they have a speaker. The speaker they had was from the grocery industry, and very interesting. Talked about all things going on in that industry. Things like I really didn't realize Kashi cereal is owned by Kellogg's.
Huh.
Yeah.
By the way, Post cereal had a breakout yesterday. POST.
Really?
Yeah. I used to like Post Raisin Bran when I was a kid.
I used to Post, right. Post used to be a big brand, but it's settled down a little bit. They talked about Constellation Brands, which is in central New York going into
They are a great, strong company, and they're into the cannabis with owning part of a Canadian company.
Right.
STZ, I think.
Experimenting with cannabis-infused drinks.
Yeah.
Yep.
They sell Coors Beer. You know, they're a liquor business. And they,
correct.
I read about 6 months ago when they started with the cannabis company, they don't really care what impairs the user. They just want to get revenue from it. So that's why they went into cannabis, too. Yeah.
Right. So that I thought that was interesting. And he has a lot of good things on there.
Yes.
Next meeting won't be till September, and they're going to have someone from FINRA. So I'm going to see if I can go to a few. But like you said, it's a long ride and then coming back. But it was a nice, nice evening. Talking about REITs, I like REITs myself. I've been a REITs person. I do have my base investments, my Apple and my stocks like BMY, Bristol Myers, yeah. and, you know, these things. But I like REITs for cash. I have CIM, NRV, PMT, you know, those types of stocks. In fact, PMT, Penny Mac, I think I'm about $1,200 down. That's because of my first purchase, so about $1,200 down. But I received about $6,200 in dividends, so I'm up for a grand.
But I like the
REITs because they give me a nice cash flow. Not that I really need it, but then I can use it for other.
There is a ETF I've been using. Again, do your own research. And this has a bunch of REITs in it, so you're not hanging out there with the one company. And it has a bunch of different kinds, mortgage REITs, apartment REITs, commercial REITs.
Yeah, and I heard you talk about that. And that's very sensible, especially for people just getting into it.
Because older people or anyone that wants income doesn't want to sit there and have a trouble with one company. Some of the REITs are very small in terms of sales. And the symbol on that is KBWY, Kangaroo Boy Willard Yellow.
Oh, okay.
So just you can look that up. You can see what's inside it. It pays about 7. It's coming up to the trend line. It's been doing nicely. It's up, you know, from 30 or so. But that's not a recommendation. It's just a way to not have all your money in one REIT or two REITs, you know.
Yeah, because I've had some bad REITs also.
Haven't we all?
Yeah, right.
Haven't we all?
I'd like you guys to see what you think about JD.com. The symbol is JD, John.
I have been in and out of that. It's also Google just took a big position in them or did something last week. So I follow it.
It should
be higher. It's been you know, they say the only good company is a good stock, or vice versa. Peter says that. I mean, this thing should be higher. This is a big company. I think it's $40 billion in sales. And it's been terribly underperforming all the other Chinese stocks. And I can't figure it out. And I bought it 3 times and sold it 3 times on a stop, and I give up on it. Sometimes you just can't make money with something.
Yeah, well, it is a Chinese e-commercial, and it does trade 3 times its earnings, but it has a lot of cash. In fact, all those infrastructure investments, they don't have to borrow. They use the cash they have, and analysts expect about a 90% jump in the 2018-2019 earnings. So, and the leadership, I guess they do have a good leadership, so that's what interests me in it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been going no place, you know, sideways, big trading range.
Every time it breaks out a little and I buy it and I put a stop in, I get the stopped out. Or it goes up 5 points, I don't sell it because I'm not a trader, and then it comes down 10, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's got a trading range 35 to 50 for a long time, you know, up, down, up, down, up, down. It's been touted for a long time. Everybody thinks it's the greatest thing in the world, you know. And you got to recognize, too, that the Chinese stock market's in a bear market, you know. It's down 20%, the Shanghai index right now. So I don't know.
Yeah, I have two stocks, and they aren't doing the greatest right now. You're correct.
Right, yep.
The stocks that people are really high on they've been very lackluster.
Oh, yeah. And this one.
Then we want to take a break soon. For people who are maybe skittish about investing and unsure, I think a couple good investments, if you want some income, would be Ford. And I know Ford's not going to go real high, but they pay almost 5.5% dividend.
They've been pretty steady. I have it in some of my income accounts. But, you know, I've been spoiled. I like a stock that goes up. And in 2014, the stock was at 18. And now it's been going down, hit 10.50, closed at 11, so what? I don't know that I'm sorry I bought it, but I'm sort of sorry I bought it. There are stocks that have nice dividends that go up, too, you know, if you can find them.
Well, I say rather than get a bond, do something like Ford, where at least you do have a chance for appreciation. And they, the last few years, they've been paying a special dividend in March.
Mm-hmm.
And that's brought it up as high as over 7.5% 1 year. So that's not too bad. Another one I like is Gabelli. And that's not going to go up a lot either.
That's the GAB?
Yeah, GAB. And then that pays over 9.5%. And I've even made a little bit of money as far as the appreciation. But it gets a nice steady income, too. Those are just for people who really aren't sure and want some income. I think those are two pretty good plays.
I think those are good ideas. Of course, everyone has to do their own research like you have.
Of course, yes, very much so.
And then you don't buy too much of any one, right? You don't buy too much. You spread it out.
Anyway, that's what I wanted to bring out. And had a conversation with Peter the other day and enjoyed speaking with him. And the same thing we talked about. Well, you listen to the news. I was telling about my Tesla. I've had it for years and didn't worry about anything. And all of a sudden, I'm reading stuff and get rid of it. And what a mistake. So you can't try to interpret the news.
Nope.
No, you can't.
No, you never know. You just have to wait and see how it reacts. You know, that's the way it is.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks an awful lot, Jack.
Thank you very much for calling.
Thanks for
have a good weekend.
Very informative. We're going to break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors, every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco of Saperstein Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperstein.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors show is also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperstein Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
You're listening to Willard Saperstein, Peter Greco live. The Dollar Doctors show Saturday, June 30th, 2018 at 10:39. Give us a ring at 803-1520 or 1-800-879-7541. Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, FINRA SIPC, MSRB, RIA. That means registered investment advisor. We do manage accounts for people, and we do standard old-time brokerage for people if they want. We have a website, saperstein.com, saperstein.com. So our shows are archived. Our shows are live and streaming. You can listen anywhere in the world at this time. What else do we do?
You covered it very well.
Well, good.
Check the chat box, and right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. And I did mention the chat box. If you go to saperstein.com, hopefully you hit the Dollar Doctor tab, and it comes up live streaming. You click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page, there's a chat box. You can type in a symbol, ask a question. If you put a symbol in, you know, tell us whether you own it, looking to buy it, looking to sell it. And you know, hopefully that Dollar Doctor tab is working. I don't know. I should have asked those people who put it into the chat box.
Tom just sent us a question on WPP.
WPP.
Yeah.
Well, they're finding out how to use it. That's good.
And
what is that anyway?
United Kingdom ADR.
WPP PLC.
Yeah. I should know what that is, too.
What sector are they in?
Media.
Media, okay.
Yeah. And closed at 78, and it's dropped from 92 to 78, so it's an easy buy.
With a stop at?
76.
76.
If you think it's going to turn around. Now, the way we would do it, we'd set the point and figure chart for a column reversal, and then we'd look at
mm-hmm.
it.
So right now, it would have to reverse at the moment up to what?
3 points, three box reversal, 81.
81. So 81, and then a stop at?
78.
78.
76.
Or 76, rather. Yeah, yeah. 81, stop at 76. It's in a long-term downtrend.
It pays 5%, but sometimes these stocks, when they pay 5% from England, pay once a year.
Yeah.
So, and maybe they just paid.
And it seems to have these big bursts up and then big plunges down after the big bursts up.
Yeah, you know, but they don't go higher than the trend line.
And and the long-term trend is down, so you're bottom fishing. Yeah. And once again,
my kind of a stock. It was at 120 in 2017.
Yeah, well, doesn't mean it can't be 40, you know. So, but anyway,
you're always negative. And he asked about HRL, too. Well, what
HRL. But we gave the parameters for it. And
do your own research.
You wouldn't want to see it go to that lower level.
HRL is Hormel.
Yep.
Do they make Spam, or is that someone else?
Well, I mean, it's
not terrible.
Not terrible.
Close at 37, 50-day moving average 36, 200-day at 34. Not terrible. And support at 20 goes lower than 29, you'd want to be out.
You'd be out at 20, lower than 29.
Price objective 55.
Yeah, and it would give a nice further confirmation of that possible target if it went above what?
What's 38 that? Or 39.
39, maybe. Yeah. So if it went to 39, it could be on its way. But definitely,
And it's at 37, so we'd set the computer to alert us at 39.
Mm-hmm. And where's the 50-day on it?
36. And so you're within a point of that.
Yeah. So ideally, where's the 200-day on it?
34. Four.
Yeah. So I would not want to see it really under 34, to tell you the truth, but. But if you're a long-term holder, then you could use that, 29 you said was the stop on it?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, but you don't really want to see it under the 200-day, and much under 34, I'd get concerned about it.
Nicely put.
Yep. So right now, phone line's wide open.
803-1520.
Boy, we did that duet.
800-879-7541. Good morning, gentlemen. What do you think of UBP? I've owned it for years.
UBP. Okay. UBP. So he's owned it for years. Oh. Well, at least they're coming up with stuff I don't recognize at all. UBP.
Yeah, helpful.
Yeah.
I like to do the show for the ideas.
And let's
see. I do my own research.
We got United.
Biddle.
United Biddle. Yeah. Properties.
Biddle. Pays five.
And
has been trading since 2011 between 18 and 20, basically. Right?
Yeah, and that's it. I mean, it's a nice for people who just like to sit there and collect the dividend. It just goes between 18 and 20, so no problem if you're.
If it was transferred in and we were to manage it, I'd hold it.
Yep, and if you're a dividend collector, it looks all right. Yeah, looks all right. Yep.
And if I went to 25 for some reason, I'd wonder why. Because it hasn't in years. Good morning, Tony from Clarence.
Yes, good morning. I'm wondering if you can tell me, and first of all, I have to say I really enjoy listening to your show. It provides a lot of good information and accurate information, which is important.
Thank you.
But my question is do you know anything about this company called Foxconn? I think it's a Chinese company.
I know the name. I need the symbol to do a little more research.
Well, I mean, but Foxconn's the company that I think works with Apple, it's a technology company, and they're talking about opening up a plant here, right?
The president was in Milwaukee, and apparently a deal was made with Foxconn to open up a plant.
Mm-hmm.
They're claiming that they're going to employ 13,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I had heard on the TV.
Right, yeah.
But later on, I also heard on one of the CNBC stations that this company jilted a city somewhere in Massachusetts and never built the company they promised. And secondly, this Foxconn is giving billions in of dollars of aid from the state to build this plant. The person on CNBC said it would take 42 years for them to make a profit.
Look at Tesla. Tesla is built on government funding, and yet without earnings has gone up.
Yeah,
so it's not impossible. It's just the kind of investment, you know, we wouldn't make for people. We like to see earnings.
Yeah, right. Well, if a company made a deal up in Massachusetts and took and never built a plant or employed a single person, I would be suspicious of that in Milwaukee.
Extremely. Now, Tony, I've got two other callers on hold.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you for that. That was very good. Very informative.
Thank you.
Good morning, Perry.
Good morning.
Good morning. Look, I'm in the medical field, and the biggest thing in the future that I see is the genomic testing for all kind of diseases.
Mm-hmm.
Bought some CRISPR and some edit. And CRISPR's been on a tear, so has edit. I'm still holding. They put a little bit of a pullback recently, but they have 19 clinical trials going on in Europe, and especially for blood diseases like sickle cell anemia, certain other types of anemia. But they're going to expand it to solid tumors, and I think that's the wave of the future. And
mm-hmm.
I mean, the chart's been just fabulous, and I bought some for my daughter, and around 50, it's up to, went up to 70 now.
Do you have a symbol for
CRSP?
CRSP.
CRSP, and the other one is EDIT.
EDIT.
I think they're both, on the ground floor of this breakthrough in technology for medicine in general, and, you could target it. Say we both have the same lung cancer, but mine is different. My tumor is different than yours genetically, and they can analyze that and target therapy specifically for maximum effect and minimal side effects.
Well, CRISPR got as high as 72 and dropped to 54, closed at 58, and certainly on the chart had a turnaround. Friday.
There was a FDA. Paperwork that they wanted to fill out before they start their clinical trial in the U.S., and I think that's a pretty irrelevant, in my opinion, but
mm-hmm.
I'm sticking with it, and I'm probably going to add to it at this level. But, I mean, it had like a tremendous run in last year's low.
It did. It's volatile, to say the least, you know.
It's somewhat speculative, but everything I've read about in medical literature supports this as a tremendous mm-hmm. wave of the future. Reminds me of ISRG, the group that makes mm-hmm. the robotic
surgical robotics.
When they first came out, a couple of friends of mine, their surgeons, bought it, and $10, and it's like $40, $4.50.
Yeah, I know. That one's been unbelievable.
We own it for one client. It's been very successful.
Wouldn't like to see it drop to 53, but you're probably a long time holder.
At 53, you're breaking down, and you could certainly see 30-40 on that guy based on history.
Yeah.
But if it stays above 53, your price objective has been met, so who knows?
Yeah. Right? Well, I think that's going to depend on their clinical trials.
Depends on the news that comes out and so forth. Yeah.
And your edit, let's just take a look at that guy. Closed at 35, and that chart doesn't look so hot. I mean, it got as high as 45, closed at 35.
Where's the support for
support
the thing?
Support is 31.
Yep. So you wouldn't want to see it under 31, that's
now,
for sure.
And what do they do, please, if you know?
Same thing. They've got genomic testing going on and more clinical trials.
Yeah. Yeah, these
but
are...
My daughter's only 27, and I figured, even if it takes a little... I'm going to buy them
mm-hmm.
for her.
Okay, well, and, we'll see. These are two that a lot of people are interested in,
so
appreciate it very much.
Yeah, we do appreciate that idea.
Both. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks a lot,
Take
Perry.
Care.
Okay, bye now.
Bye-bye. Give us a ring, 803-1520 or 800-879-7541. We're live, the Dollar Doctors. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I'd like some info on a possible stops for Verizon and MA MasterCard.
Well, Verizon closed at... Coming up, somehow I got Visa, so let's just
Well, that's what he wants.
Oh, that's what you wanted. You wanted Visa. Yeah. Okay, we got it.
Do you hold it? Have you been holding it a long time?
Yes.
All right, so a stop would be
110.
110.
Okay.
Or a shorter stop might be, let me see if I can do that. There you go. Oops. Yeah, well, 129 maybe, but, you know, you've got big support at 126, 127.
So, I mean, if you're a long-term holder and you don't mind 110, you can use 110.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can afford to have it go down a bit.
Okay.
And Verizon, you said?
No. MasterCard.
MasterCard.
Both credit cards. They both had good runs. You know,
they did, so. Yeah. We owned them both for someone, and we got stopped out of Verizon, out of Visa. God, you get me?
Yeah, and the stop on that would be what?
Well, it closed at 196. The stop would be 186, but you've got support at 180, so you probably wouldn't stop it, I'm thinking. 50-day moving average, 191, 200-day at 167. So you could always say 189, I suppose.
Yeah, 180, between 180 and 190.
Yep.
Really watching it there.
Definitely. Okay, take care.
Thanks very much. Good morning, Nick.
Good morning, Willard and Peter.
Good morning.
Hey, I want to ask you about National Fuel. I called you about 6 months ago.
What is it?
Told you I was buying it.
NFC.
And I said I'm going to keep it for 3 or 4 months. I
no,
lied. I kept it a little bit longer, and it didn't go anywhere.
NFG. NFG.
We're looking
NFG,
at it.
Yeah,
yeah NFG, at it. Yeah.
I heard your call. I was in Florida.
Oh, were you in a nice sunny area?
I was. We're in Sarasota. You wouldn't sell it.
Sand down there.
There's a little of everything there. Your stop point would be in the 48 area, but right now it's doing okay. You're going to have trouble getting past 54 to 60. But, you know, you'll see what happens.
Well, where's the 200-day on this thing?
200-day is 53.97 and closed at 52.
Yeah. So the 200-day is around 54 or so, right? And that could be very tough to get above. And only if you got above that would it technically be back in a strong bull move again, if it got above that 54 area. And it technically broke down, but it came back. So definitely, if it dropped to, what would you say, 48, that would be a concern, because now you could come all the way down to
38. So I hope that helps.
That does, and I should have listened to you the first time and got rid of it.
Well, we owned it and it went up for people, but we owned it in the high 30s a while ago, and I said, well, this isn't really a growth stock and got some profit and doesn't pay a huge dividend, and time to unload. That's all.
Right.
And that wasn't anything other than 40 years in the business and my gut feeling.
Yes.
No.
Well, you win some, you lose some.
That's it. And the one thing with stocks, though, you know, you could be right, and 2 years later you say, oh, I was wrong. You know, so,
exactly.
You know, who knows? I owned
I owned ATVI at $11 and sold it at $10, and now it's selling for $74.
Yeah. I know it well.
That
well,
happens.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Well, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much. Have a good weekend.
Very nice.
Okay, we're down to about the last 2 or 3 minutes of the show.
What do you think of UBP? We answered that. Yeah, that was our last one.
The last one in the chat box there
yeah,
was
so
that
we're
one.
Done
yeah,
with that.
Yeah. So that's it. So, anyway, the quarter ended. You know, and certainly the last week was affected by adjustments by portfolio managers for the quarter. You know. Moving around, repositioning, and so forth. So it'll be interesting to see next week, how the July starts, you know, where people are headed. They still headed out. They still adjusting, rotating.
it'll be interesting. And I think next week you're going to end up with the, besides July 4th, the holiday, you're going to have the employment report, which everybody's going to look at. And if wages went up too much, they're going to get all excited, you know, so it'll be very interesting.
And excited in what way?
Then they won't be happy, you know, they'll think the Fed will just keep the
keep raising
pedal to the metal, you know.
Well, so, you have been listening to Willard Saperston, Peter Greco, the Dollar Doctors. We are live every Saturday from 10 to 11, rebroadcast 12 to 1 Saturday night, archived on our website, Saperston, SAPERSTON.com, with free economic research every week. In fact, posted this morning. As we always say, keep a little powder dry, and good night and good luck.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperston Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.